It is good indeed to be here with you this evening, be back after not being here this morning. Appreciate Joel taking my class for me. We went with Jacob, I think probably most of you know, but he is starting at UNA this week, and Bobby and Connie moved him in the dorm yesterday, and we went over and went to church with him this morning, and not knowing that we knew anybody at the congregation where we went, I walked in, and the first person we saw, and some of you, this won't mean anything to you, and the old-timers it will, but the first person we met was Tim Holt. He's one of the elders, and Tim's daddy used to be an elder here, and Tim grew up at Ephesus and known him all my life. And but anyway, we were glad to see him, and then turned out about probably seven or eight other people that we knew. A number of the freshman students were kids that I had at camp the last several years at summer camp. So it was good to see them and so on. But anyway, that's where we were this morning, and it is good to be back. I'd like for us this evening to think about being committed to Christ. And in the book of Galatians, in chapter 2 and verse 20, there's a passage of Scripture that we use a lot of times and from a lot of different angles. Here Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me." Paul is saying here that he is totally committed to Christ. He's given up himself. He's not living for what he wants. He's living for Christ. And so this is, I think, probably as good an example of a passage that deals with being really committed to Christ that I know about. As I began thinking about this lesson, though, one of the things that came to mind is that we all start out as babies in Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there you passages again that we're familiar with, verses 22 and 23. He says, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God." So he says, you've been born again. You're starting out as a baby. And then in chapter 2, right in the verses that follow that, he says, "Put aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babies. Long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." And so as we think about this, we need to understand that when we become a Christian, we start out as a baby. And so we, you know, when we begin serving God, we're not going to be full grown. We're not going to just, become a Christian one day and then the next day, we got it all worked out. We got it all figured out. But rather we grow gradually, just like physical babies. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, they're beginning in verse 11, a passage again that we use for other reasons a lot of times, but he says he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And so he's talking about a process here, and he says God has given us all of these people to help us to grow up, to build up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And so he says we are going to eventually become mature Christians, but it's a process that we have to go through. He says as a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trick of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheme. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And so all the way through this passage, Paul is talking about the fact that we grow gradually, that we become more and more mature as we continue to grow spiritually. He says, "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, I think one of the things we have to see here is that as each part of the body of Christ grows and matures, then the church as a whole grows and matures. But inasmuch as any single part of the body does not grow and does not mature properly, then the church is lacking that much in that respect. And so we each have this responsibility to grow spiritually, so individually, so that we grow together as Christians. Because the church will never be what it can be unless all of us are growing properly and all of us are working together and in this one big body, this one process. And so we grow gradually, just like physical babies. And I think this is important because it's easy for us to maybe look at ourselves or maybe look at others and wonder why this person does this or doesn't do that or something else. And I think that our growth rate depends on a lot of things. You remember Jesus explained he gave the parable of the soils, you know, there was the rocky soil, there's a pathway, and there was rocky soil and the thorny ground, there was the good soil, and some grew and some didn't grow, and some grew fast, some grew slow, some grew healthy, some didn't grow healthy. And so there's different rates, and I think this probably, you know, all of us are going to grow differently. We're not going to all grow just exactly the same. And that means that we have to look at others and we have to say, okay, I understand that person is trying, that person is growing, but because of whatever reason we may or may not understand, they maybe are not maturing as quickly as somebody else is maturing. And we need to be careful how we look at others and how we judge others in that respect, because all of us will grow differently in different ways and different rates. In Ephesians chapter 4, picking up really right where we just left off, beginning verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God." In other words, they don't understand what they're doing. Now, he's not talking here specifically about Christians. He's talking about, in fact, those that are not Christians. But he says, you need to be careful because these people don't understand. He goes on, he says, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. And so I think the point here is that sometimes people don't grow because they don't want to grow. Sometimes people don't grow because they're stubborn, or because they are biased, or because of something else. And while he's talking here about those that are not Christians, I think we need to make sure that we understand this principle because it does apply to us as well. I have heard people who were Christians just say flat out, "I'm not going to do this that the Bible says we ought to do." And I've heard Christians say, "Well, I know the Bible says we ought to do that, but I just cannot do that." Well, then we got a problem. And if we're going to grow spiritually, then we need to be willing to say, okay, I am committed enough to Jesus Christ that I'm willing to try to do whatever Jesus wants me to do. And it may be something in a very personal way, like being able to forgive somebody or being willing to accept something or somebody that maybe we don't particularly like, but it's not immoral, it's not ungodly. And so we need to be careful about those kinds of things. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul here talks about growing to the Philippians, and I like what he says. He said, "The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." One of the ways that we grow spiritually is observing those who are spiritually mature. And we watch how they live, and we see what they're doing. Now, the other side of that is, as we become more and more spiritually mature, we have an added responsibility to make sure that our example is what it ought to be. And to make sure that when people are learning from us or receiving word from us, or they hearing us, or they're seeing our practice, that we're setting the right example for them. And we're telling them the right thing. And so if we're committed to Christ, it says, okay, I'm going to do and be exactly what Jesus wants me to do. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer says, by this time you ought to be teachers. This is an example of some who had not grown and matured properly. He said, you ought to be teachers, but you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, what he's saying is, you know, I know you're in the fourth grade, but you need somebody to teach you your ABCs again. You need somebody to teach you the very basics all over again. He goes on, he says, everyone who partakes of milk is not only accustomed to the word, is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And so if we're going to grow spiritually, we've got to study the Word of God, we've got to understand the Word of God, and then we've got to actually put it into practice in our lives and live it. And this is what commitment is really all about. It is saying, okay, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do the way you want me to do it. Whatever that is. And whether I understand it or not, or whether you like it or not, has absolutely nothing to do with it. And too often, I hear when in a discussion somebody says, well, I think. I won't tell you what the Bible teaches. It doesn't matter what I think or what you think. What matters is what did God say. And so we need to follow the Word of God exactly whatever He tells us that we need to do. And so we all start out as babies in Christ, and we grow gradually, and there are some basics that we have to learn. And then we build on these basics. And, you know, we learn as a baby, we learn to stand up. You know, you see a baby and they finally get it to where they can hold on to the sofa or the chair or maybe a table or something. And then after a while, they turn loose and they stand there all by themselves. And we cheer them and we get all excited because the baby was able to stand up all by itself. And what a great feat that is. But you know, if they're 6 years old and they're still able to pull themselves up on the couch and stand there and that's all they can do, then they got a problem. But what happens is they stand there and then the next thing you know, they take a step. And then they take three steps. And then they finally walk across the room, and now not only can they stand, but they can walk. And then you want to tie them down because everywhere you look, they're running. And what have they done? They have grown gradually from standing to walking to running. The same thing is true when we begin teaching our kids the ABCs. And they learn these letters, which are just a bunch of letters, but then they begin to sound these letters together with other letters and they make words. And then before long, they begin to read. And in math, we learn, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. And 2 + 2 = 4. And we learn how to add these numbers together and figure out what they equal. And then we learn how to take some away from it and we learn how to subtract. And then we learn how to multiply these numbers and come up with what that is. And then we begin to divide those numbers. And then they start putting all that stuff together and they come up with something called algebra. And before you know it, if you're not careful, they're going to start trying to teach you calculus and trigonometry and all of these other things. But it's all based on 1 + 1 = 2. And spiritually, the same thing is true. We learn the basics of God. We learn the basics of Jesus Christ. We learn the basics of these Bible stories and the principles that are in them. And then as we begin to put these things together, we begin to mature spiritually until someday we wake up and we realize, hey, I've come a long way because now I understand how all of this fits and all of this works and all of it comes over here. And so we have the story of Jesus. We have the plan of salvation. We have God's ideas for how the church is to be. And all of this comes about gradually as we begin to put these simple truths together and build on the basics. And so it takes time for us to grow spiritually. In Hebrews chapter 6, he goes on and he says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. He's not saying that we completely forget these things, these basics, and we don't ever go back to them again. That's not what he's saying. Any more than you would tell the mathematician who is doing higher math that you don't even worry about and don't ever go back to the basics. They have to use the basics every day to perform the problems in higher math. The same thing is true in these other areas. And so we don't forget our ABCs. We just simply learn to use them without really thinking about them. And so Paul says, okay, now we've got the basics, or the Hebrew writer says, we've got the basics, now let's move on to these higher things and press on to maturity. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, he says that we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 verses 9 through 12, Paul offers his prayer for them and he says, this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And so we have to have this knowledge and then we have this wisdom of how to use it because we understand what we've studied. He says, this is so that we may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We continue to grow. There is never a place that we get to that we say, okay, I've got it all figured out. But no matter how much we mature spiritually, we continue to mature and continue to learn. And he says, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of His saints in light. And so we continue to live for God day after day. The more we're committed to Christ, the more we want to learn, the more we want to study, the more we will grow. And to grow properly, it takes food. That's true physically. That's true spiritually. It takes exercise. That's true physically and it's true spiritually. And it also takes rest. And there are times that we just sort of have to back off and take a break, and it doesn't mean we don't continue to study the Word of God. It just means that we don't put forth the diligence that we did when we were doing it maybe before. So we study and we learn, we understand it, and we apply it in our lives. James tells us in James 1, 22, it should be 21 and 22. He says, receive the Word implanted, that is the Word of God. And he says, prove yourselves doers of the Word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. It's not enough just to hear the Word of God. We've got to put it into practice. We've got to live it day by day. One other point that I think we need to really understand is that if we're going to grow spiritually, we must pray. If we're going to grow spiritually, we need to pray some more. If we're going to grow spiritually, we keep on praying and we pray. Pray about everything, Paul says. He says, pray without ceasing. And so prayer must be a vital part of our lives if we're going to grow spiritually. more we know, the more we want to know, the more committed we are, the more we want to study. So James tells us in James 4, beginning in verse 4. He says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." We must make choices daily. We must choose to serve God every day. And there are going to be influences. Some of them are blatant and some of them are very gradual. But there are going to be influences in our lives for us to love the world and to be a part of it. But if we're going to grow spiritually, we must resist the temptation and not be a friend of the world. Do not think that Scripture speaks to no purpose. He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. God wants us to serve Him. And God gives us everything that we need to serve Him and to be faithful and to grow spiritually. And His desire is for us to be His completely, to be totally committed to Him. But He gives a greater grace. Therefore it says God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. The more we submit to God, the more grace He gives us. The more we struggle, the more grace He gives us. The more we need, the more grace He gives us. If we truly submit to Him and humble ourselves before Him. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That just means resist the temptations that he puts in our way, he puts in our life, and he will flee from us. Does that mean he won't ever come back? No, he'll be back tomorrow. He'll come again. He's not going to just say, "Okay, I'm going to give up on that guy or that lady." But we keep resisting. We keep running him off. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. The closer we want to be, the closer we will be. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands means that you be careful what we do. Purify your hearts means we be careful about what we think. And to not be double-minded just simply means that we are totally committed to Jesus Christ, to live for Him and serve Him in every possible way. Verse 9, "Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom." Repentance is not something that we just do one time when we become a Christian, but it is a part of our daily life and our serving God. Is that we continue to be sorrowful for the things we do wrong and we continue to turn away from them and we continue to turn back to God and live for Him. So he says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. When we recognize who we are and we recognize who God is, it's easy for us to humble ourselves because there is no comparison between us and God. But when we humble ourselves, He will exalt us. He will lift us up so that we can be what He wants us to be. And so if we're going to be committed to Christ, we must first become a follower of Jesus Christ, and then we grow as the children of God. We study, we learn, we live it, we pray, and we have constant communication with God. But you know, there's a danger that I think we need to mention, and that is that knowledge puffs up. There's a danger of studying God's Word and at some point beginning to think, "Boy, I know it pretty good. I'm pretty proud of it." But Paul says knowledge puffs up. Don't ever become proud of what we know, because no matter how much we know about God's Word, we're still a long way from understanding the mind of God. The other side of that coin is don't ever give up. Yeah, there'll be times that we get discouraged in serving God and we wonder, is it really worth it? And all of us face those times from time to time, some more frequently than others, but some of us, it's easy to get discouraged and say, "I just wonder if it really is worth what I'm having to do." But don't ever give up. Just turn to God, and He will help you. He will give you the strength so that you can be what He wants you to be. I want to conclude this lesson with a prayer that the Apostle Paul gave on behalf of and for the Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." If you're not a Christian, we urge you this evening to come to Jesus Christ and give Him your life. Make that commitment to live for Him and to serve for Him and to serve Him. And upon making that commitment and confessing your faith in Him and turning in repentance from your sin, you're baptized into Christ. And He'll be with you. And then renew that commitment every day so that you can serve Him and live for Him. If you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and serve.